Good morning to you all. I want to thank you for being here with us. We'll be presenting the financial results of Grupo Argos for the last quarter of 2021. At this space, we have José Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos, Adrián Pedreira, Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Finance for Grupo Argos, Rafael Oliveira, Vice President of Corporate Matters and Talent, Grupo Argos, Mauricio Oja, President of Producer Mercados, Manager of the Urban Development Business, Pablo Rayaba, Vice President of Corporate Finance for Denza, and Lina Hurtado, Manager of Pactia. This conference has been translated into English simultaneously. In addition, I want to remind you all that our website, we have available all the information for this quarter, together with the presentation that we'll be following during this conference. In order to download it, you can access our website and the manual financial information afterwards in the section of reports. And if I could move on to slide number 3 of this presentation in order to start the meeting, and I want to give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia, and good morning to you all. Thank you for being with us in this meeting. We'll be going over the results, not just for the fourth quarter of 2021, but also the consolidated results of a very productive year for Grupo Argos in all its companies. And during the fourth quarter of 2021, we registered a positive performance in all our businesses, and we actually reached very important advancements in terms of strategy that keeps consolidating Grupo Argos as a leader in asset management and infrastructure in all the region. The consolidated revenues for the group at the end of the period were 16.3 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a 17% growth year after year. Well, the EBITDA reached 4.3 billion with a growth of 29%. The net profit was 1.4 billion with a growth close to 500%, and the net profit of the controller ended in 658 billion Colombian pesos with a growth of 1,273%. This multiplier effect for profitability is the materialization of an effort that the organization has led in order to consolidate a cost and expense structure that's much more efficient and a lighter capital structure that led to a very good treasury management in order to reach this financial expenses reduction. This performance also proves the strength that the operational lever that the company has and that fills with energy towards this positive perspectives that we are seeing for 2022. Now I want to invite you to move on results, the construction material business that started as a historic year in terms of dispatched cement volumes, in terms of EBITDA, in terms of profitability. The good commercial dynamic in all the regions has been driven by growing demand, both in terms of cement and concrete, in a moment of construction reactivation, and that Cementos Argos is showing how the efforts that have been made for many years place the organization as a very well-prepared organization in order to attend the growing demand. I want to highlight also of this period the construction and inauguration of a port terminal for the freight rate zone in Cartagena. This port, which required investments of $42 million, triples the export capacity in terms of cement in order to attend the growing demand in the United States, Central America, and all the Caribbean region, where the organization has a very relevant presence in all those markets. And for many years now, and strengthens the logistics network in order to attend the integration of these regions, capturing larger synergies and growth potential that's presented in many of these countries. In operational terms, I would like to highlight an increase in cement volumes of a 6%. This is interannual in order to close 2021 with a record number of 17.1 million tons that have been sold. In order to give perspective to this magnitude of 17.1 million tons of cement, this is equal to close to 42,000 cement sacks sold per hour, or more than 1,700 mixers dispatched every hour for 24 hours of 365 days of the year. This growth volumes was also translated in revenues for the fourth quarter for 2.5 billion Colombian pesos, and an EBITDA that was close to 542 billion Colombian pesos, with a growth of 9% and 21% respectively. EBITDA for the year closed in 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos. This is the largest figure that we have reached in the history of the company, while the EBITDA margin closed in 22%, being once again the highest one since 2005, when the company began the aggressive expansion plan that the company has led in the United States and as well as in other countries. During 2021, we continued with an organized effort in order to reduce leveraging of the company. And that's how we closed with the debt ratio lower than 3 times, 2.9 times, which grants the non-flexibility to the company in order to not just execute all its future projects, but also having the flexibility that will allow looking towards the opportunities that might emerge in short and long term. This achievement was also recognized by Fitch, that improved the perspective of our rating, moving it from neutral to positive. Now I want to invite you to go over the results of the electric energy business in Celsia. The year ended with very important advancements in terms of generation, having starting the operation of 3 solar farms with a capacity of 29.4 megawatts, and also advancements in the construction of El Tesorito thermal project in Sagún that will add 200 megawatts of installed capacity, and that advances and will start operating in 2022. The distribution and energy distribution and commercialization business also advanced with the strengthening of the current infrastructure, where we made an investment close to 365 billion Colombian pesos in order to achieve improvements in the operational efficiency and guarantee a better service rendering in the assets that the organization has in El Valle and in El Tolima. The larger demand of electric energy that we saw in the country, and that was driven by the economic recovery in Colombia and Central America, allowed Celsia to close a quarter with consolidated revenues that reached 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos, as you might see in the graph, and an EBITDA higher than 403 billion Colombian pesos. This is a growth of 34% and 20% respectively compared with the same period previous year. The consolidated revenues for the year reached 4.1 trillion Colombian pesos with an increase of 16% respectively compared with the previous year, while the consolidated EBITDA for the organization reached 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos with an 11% growth. It's also important to highlight that these results do not consolidate the results that are generated in the Caoba platform that manages the transmission assets for levels 3 and 4 of the organization. And while 2021 generated an additional EBITDA that will have fear of 156 billion Colombian pesos. Net profit for the controller was of 334 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 34% year after year, and the company closed with a total consolidated debt of 4.5 trillion Colombian pesos, which is an indicator that's slightly higher than 3 times in terms of net EBITDA. In the concession business, I'd like to start by the airport business, where Odensa closed with a very important recovery in terms of traffic and with a net profit that came back to the positive terrain. That, besides that, also proves a very positive trend. In order to dimension the speed of this business recovery in terms of the generation potential for 2022, and for the upcoming years, it's proper to speak about the monthly recovery of the traffic. Well, in 2021, the Bogota and Quito airports, led by the organization, mobilized 1.4 million passengers total. During December last year, the airports mobilized 3.3 million passengers, which is equal to monthly growth rate of 8%. This is also is presented in the EBITDA terms, given that in January 2021, both airports, between both, they generated an EBITDA close to 25 billion Colombian pesos, while in December, this figure reached 55 billion Colombian pesos with a monthly growth of 8%. The achieved result the last month of the year during December is very positive, given that it's close to those figures that we had pre-pandemic in terms of financial terms and operational terms. And this is also a feeling in terms of the perspectives we have for 2022. Likewise, in the road concession business, Odensa closed the year with 43 million vehicles mobilized through its different concessions. This is the largest figure of the company in its history, and during the fourth quarter, the road traffic dynamic was also similar to what happened in the airport. It's very positive, reaching a daily average traffic of 133,000 vehicles, which means 20% more compared with the same period previous year. During December last year, we closed the business of anticipated termination of the ADN and BTA highways with the national government of the Dominican Republic. This investment of these two roads that Odensa constructed and operated for more than 15 years represents the profitable monetization that was executed in order to strengthen the capital structure of the company and continue with the growth strategy in other geographies where the organization has a larger respective capacity in terms of future value generation. In this project, Odensa invested $72 million. This asset received $54 million in distributions during the last 5 years, and received finally a payment of $319 million due to the anticipated termination of this contract. The termination was thought for 2038. These money flows are translated in a TIR of 19% for the company, which exceeds significantly the capital cost that the organization has, and a very relevant entry in terms of cash flow that will be beneficial for the capital structure of the company in terms of debtment, also better the capacity in terms of growth in other assets where we could generate more value. Even though the economic effect is very positive for the organization, the anticipated termination of the contract has a certain accounting effects that negatively affect the P&L, but do not represent a cash irrigation nor change the economic sense of the value generation of this transaction. Because of this, you'll see in our financial results, and we'll be going over this. We do a series of adjustments through the presentation that allows us to evidence the operational performance of the business, excluding the effects of this specific investments. In terms of the financial aspect, during this quarter, Odisea kept the growth trend of that EBITDA and revenue that had been registered from last year. This is explained by an increase in vehicle traffic and passenger airport traffic. The total revenues closed in 256 billion Colombian pesos. The EBITDA closed in 219 billion Colombian pesos, with a growth of 26% and 188% respectively. Once again, of course, these comparisons are done, but we exclude the accounting effect of the disinvestment of both highways of Nordeste and Boulevard Turístico del Atlántico in the Dominican Republic. Now I'm gonna invite you to move on and go over the content found on slide number 12 in order to see the results of the urban development business, in which I would like to highlight the following milestones. First, the start of operations of Sofitel Casablanca Hotel that has been very well received. Simultaneously, reaching the equilibrium point in the residential segment of Casablanca Bahru. I also wanna highlight the signature of two purchase sale promises for development of another boutique hotel and a Four Seasons hotel in the property that the organization owns in Bahru that will bring revenues for 55 billion Colombian pesos. Third, the successful call for the second stage of the urban development project, Ciudad de Mallorquín, that ensures revenues for 214 billion Colombian pesos. During the quarter, we had an increase of more than 200% in terms of the net cash flow compared with the same period last year, closing a very extraordinary year for the urban development business with an increase of 486%. As you could see, in the accumulated value in top part slide. This is thanks to the dynamic generated with the social interest housing projects, the new businesses that we also closed in Bahru Island and the advance in payments for certain negotiations that we had previously done. In terms of P&L, the year closed with an increase of 155% in terms of revenue and 643% in terms of EBITDA. In the real estate business, that's managed through Paktia, the gross effective revenue was of 408 billion Colombian pesos, while the EBITDA for the quarter was 51 billion Colombian pesos, with an increase of 63%. Now adjusting the revenues we had for these investments, the gross revenue and the EBITDA growth at rates of 33% and 34%. The sectors that had the largest recoveries were trade and hotels, with a growth of 25% and 94% respectively. In terms of portfolio, the dynamic continues with a positive trend. It's a bullish trend. During the year, we renewed 163,000 square meters, and we commercialized 115 square meters in rent and 990,000 square meters in sales. We wanna also leave aside those non-strategic assets. During 2021, we materialized sales for 374 billion Colombian pesos, from which 311 billion correspond to the sale of a residential and office project in Miami. These investments allowed anticipating amortizations and financial obligations for a value of 225 billion Colombian pesos. All these milestones shorten the stabilization process of the assets and contribute with a larger cash generation for the business. Now I want to invite you all to go over the consolidated results of the organization. On slide number 15, you can go over the positive results of our business. Revenues reached 4.4 trillion Colombian pesos during the period and 16.3 trillion Colombian pesos for the year, which represents an increase of 17% compared with the same period last year and 4% when we compare this with 2019, when we eliminate the effects of the non-recurrent operations, both positive as well as negative ones. The larger sales volume was translated into pro forma EBITDA increase, which closed in 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos and 4.4 trillion Colombian pesos for the year, which implies an increase of 29% compared with 2020 and of 11% if we compare this with 2019. Net revenue increased even in larger proportions thanks to the operational performance of the business and due to the reduction in terms of the financial expense, registering a figure close to 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos for the year. On slide number 16, we can also see the variation quarter by quarter. In terms of the revenues, we could see them on the left side of the graph. In terms of EBITDA, we can find these on the right side of the slide that you have up front, which shows a clear recovery in all the business lines for the business group. Once again, I'd like to highlight the evidence of the operational lever at a consolidated level has, for each 100 points, the organization reached 170 points of a basic increase in terms of EBITDA. In terms of the consolidated expenses that you have on your screen on slide number 17, we could see an increase of 6% year after year when we eliminate the non-recurrent expenses. This result proves also the efforts done by the organization in keeping savings, not just on 2020 or aligned with the inflation, but also in a progressive manner for more than 5 years that we've been following this trend, and we'll be able to see in the attachments. Now I want to invite you to move on slide 18 to analyze the consolidated indebtedness for the organization. Here, I would like to highlight the amortizations that have been made for the last 12 months that reach a figure of 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos. At the end, we obtain a reduction of 2% in the gross debt for the organization. 1.4 come due to the reduction of the debt stock and 923 trillion Colombian pesos due to the variation of the exchange rate. Gross debt closed like this for the quarter in 14.9 trillion Colombian pesos. The largest part of the indebtedness reduction is explained by the effort made in Odinsa and Cementos Argos, thanks to the short-term strategy that these companies have been leading, and they have been able to reduce substantially the leveraging with an operational cash flow generation and with the disinvestment of non-strategic assets. In the set of results, separated sets of results, as well as in the consolidated ones, we recorded pro forma growth, very significant pro forma growth, compared with 2020 and 2019. The pro forma revenues for the third quarter closed in 208 billion Colombian pesos. The EBITDA closed 143 billion Colombian pesos. Net profit in 125 billion Colombian pesos. For the year, the EBITDA closed in 515 billion Colombian pesos. Five times fold what we had in 2020 and doubling what we had in 2019. Separated debt that you can find on slide 23 closed in the second quarter in 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos with expiries of 94% or due dates 94% with credits up to 2023, which gives us a larger financial flexibility and allows the company closing with very healthy indebtedness indicators and aligned also with our current credit rating. The closing is 7%, which represents an increase in terms of the closing rate of last year. Nevertheless, this increase is lower than inflation thanks to this strategy led by the Treasury Office in order to anchor less financial costs through synthetic operations that allowed fixing inflation levels under the ones that we've observed. I'd also like you, I'd like to share with you some very important advancements in terms of the sustainability strategy, more specifically in environmental related topics, social related topics, and government related topics. It's with great pride I like to share that in November last year, the companies of Grupo Argos were recognized by the Dow Jones Sustainability Index once again as global leaders within our industries. In this edition, Grupo Argos and Cementos Argos consolidated for the ninth consecutive time as members of the Sustainability Index, Dow Jones Sustainability Index, proving to be among the best companies in terms of environmental, social, and economic practices. Grupo Argos occupied first place worldwide in its industry and the highest rating in terms of code of conduct, social report, and environmental report. In the climate change strategy in terms of institutional relationing as well as in water treatment. Also, we received the highest distinction in the sustainability yearbook for S&P Global with the global seal, while Celsia received the bronze seal as recognition to a transparent cross-cutting management focused on long-term value generation. This distinction brings together hundreds and thousands of companies with an outstanding performance globally in order to recognize their management in terms of social, environmental, and economic aspects. So compare ourselves and compete against such a large number of global companies fills us with pride. See these advancements that we've obtained in terms of policies, in terms of executional policies around management, environmental, and economic aspects. I'd also like to highlight that more than 7,000 companies were evaluated from 61 industries, from which 13 of these are Colombian companies. In terms of climate change and understanding the impact over the environment of the industries where we participate, just wanted to remind you how we presented the advancements and the strategy for climate change in under the framework of Task Force of Climate-Related Financial Disclosure, known as TCFD, aligned with the commitment we have for the 2030 agenda and with the compliance of the 17 goals of sustainable development. This report that's very detailed, and those that have interesting knowing about this, I want to invite you to take a look. They promote the ESG practices in order for this to be aligned with financial methodologies. This actually has been published today in the Climate Change Company for Grupo Argos. It's worth reminding the effort that the business group has done in terms of climate change in order to reduce in a 46% the intensity of the CO2 emissions that are equal for each million pesos of revenue, and simultaneously reduce in a 37% the CO2 emissions in absolute terms. You can see on the slide that's being projected the advancements that are equal to 17 and 23% in terms of absolute emission reduction when it's compared with the baseline of 2015. So we fruitfully advance in the implementation of mitigation, reduction, and compensation strategies for our greenhouse effect gas emissions. Finally, I want to highlight the recognition that Grupo Argos received as one of the global companies that are part of the Gender Equality Index, Bloomberg Gender Equality Index, which measures gender equality management and places the organization within a list of global companies that are not just have not just managed, executed policies, but also executed actions with the purpose of closing those gender gaps that are presented within organizations. Grupo Argos was able to achieve a very high punctuation in this index thanks to the advancements that we've done within our establishment and thanks to the implementation of policies in order to avoid sexual harassment, also in training programs for diversity and inclusion, and for the signature of more than 8 credits associated to environmental, social, and corporate governance indicators that in a consolidated level within the group, consolidated 2.6 trillion Colombian pesos, and also consolidated materialization of our commitments in environmental terms and also for diversity and inclusion. Moving on to slide 26, in terms of our perspective for the upcoming year, we could share the main guidelines for the group this year. We expect to keep on following that growth trend that we have been able to execute in 2021 and close with revenues of 17 to 17.5 trillion Colombian pesos, an EBITDA that would be around 4.4 and 4.6 trillion Colombian pesos, and a profit that will be between 1.2 and 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos. I'd like to close the space by reassuring the deep optimism vision that we have that leads the transformations that we have been achieving within our strategy, in the performance and resilience that our businesses have proven that exceed the difficulties that we went through as a consequence of COVID-19 pandemic, and with the capacity generated by 13,000 collaborators in 18 countries where we have presence in order to take advantage of these huge possibilities that we have in the infrastructure sector in these regions of the world. Finally, to close and to begin with our Q&A session, I just wanted to briefly mention the OPAs that were closed for this week, going for Grupo Argos and Grupo Nutresa. These are investments that we've kept for many years. The public offers were both analyzed by the members of Grupo Argos board, complying with the highest score standard after obtaining the authorizations coming from the extraordinary assemblies, for 5 of their members to deliberate and decide for the best interests of the shareholders of the company. As we've published before, according to studies presented by technical advisors, within which we have JP Morgan and that were analyzed in detail by the board, the prices established by the OBAs that were lower than the fundamental values. And besides that, they don't know about the solidness of the portfolio investments and the potential of future growth that these elements have. Due to this reasons and other reasons also, the board, as it's been publicly announced, gain concurrency for this two operations. So let me just give the word to Natalia Agudelo so we could proceed to our Q&A session and answer any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. But besides that, we also want to reiterate how thankful we are for having you all here today and our openness for the case that you have any observations, questions, or queries. You could also always approach our team. We are ready to answer any questions you might have. So with this, I'll give the floor to Natalia for her to lead the Q&A session. Thank you. Well, thank you, Jorge. Just want to remind you that you can ask your questions through the Q&A icon that you find on your screen. For the moment, we have some questions. Let me begin. Rodrigo Sanchez from Corredores asks if we could share the expectation of sources and usage for 2022. Of course, let me give the word to Alejandro. He could tell a little bit about the projection that we have uses and sources in terms of cash flows that we have already built. Of course, Jorge, basically, at our group, Wargos level, our sources and uses are simple and clear. We have expectations of receiving dividends in 2022 for a value around 900 billion Colombian pesos. This is an increase that twice as higher than what we received last year. That was 472 billion Colombian pesos. And in addition to this revenue coming from dividends, we have the real estate revenues. That is 185 billion Colombian pesos that gives us sources or revenues close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos for 2022. The expenses we have is the dividend that we will be proposing in the next assembly. It will be paid due to the concept of dividends in 2022. And expenses for the real estate business in terms of operational revenues add close to 300 billion Colombian pesos, 280 billion Colombian pesos to be more exact. So from the operational flow, we have a value close to 580 billion Colombian pesos. This gives us an excess added to taxes that are close to 70 billion Colombian pesos. Will give us a cash flow higher than 500 billion Colombian pesos. 500 billion Colombian pesos that possibly can be used according to the conditions to reduce the leveraging level, closing with an indebtedness level close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos. So we will be reducing our indebtedness in 33% in terms with the debt stock that we closed in 2021. Thank you, Alejandro. Rodrigo also asks, how are we going to be using this 180 billion Colombian pesos that Odessa will be paying as dividends, and how the distribution is aligned with the growth and this investment plans that the company has? Yes, in the explanation that Alejandro gives, he explains about sources and uses, but in conceptual basic terms, the company, product from the disinvestments that we have already mentioned, Odense in particular, will have a cash position that will be extremely broad. We've balanced three elements in Odense. First, keeping the company the necessary capital resources in order to attend the equity contributions required for the development of the projects that are currently happening, not just at DEPEX, that's being done for the central connection or the airport projects in Bogotá and Cartagena or El Perímetro de la Sabana, but all of the necessary contributions for the construction of the Meta road grid. This is a private initiative project that's close to financially close in terms of the construction period. In addition, we will also be using resources for reducing leveraging at a consolidated level in Odinsa, close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos. So great part of the financial resources that will come in will be used for the growth or for the leveraging of Odinsa separately. And some close to 380 billion Colombian pesos will come into Grupo Argos' main shareholder. And from here, we also derive the possibility, as Alejandro explained, to attend an important growth of 31% in its dividends to shareholders, but at the same time, for there to be an unleveraging separately that will be very important. So the use of the resources is adequately balanced between the retribution to shareholders with growth that reflects our convincement or the conviction that we have for value generation and for transferring that value generation to our shareholders, the reduction of leveraging that we don't just consider convenient, but also important in terms of this year where we'll have the increase of financing costs and simultaneously keeping the necessary resources in order to keep growing the company in a healthy way towards the future. Last question for Rodrigo. What's going to be the dividend distribution policy for the company towards the future?
Thank you, Rodrigo. It's a very good question. The company has always maintained a distribution policy around 60%-70% of the profit. But nevertheless, in the case of Grupo Argos, I want to mention something, and that is that holdings such as this one obviously distributes dividends based on the set of results, separated set of results, not the consolidated one, but the separated one. Second, clearly attending what I just explained, and that's the balance of the growth opportunities, the maintenance of certain leverage levels that, according to the financial cost cycle, they will be the most adequate, the most proper for the shareholders of the company long term. And also, of course, the retribution to shareholders. And all this has all this bears in mind not just the set of results, but also the cash flow that will be generated for the period that's being considered for distribution. So as we expressed previously, the distribution, the way we thought our distribution is, it also has some extraordinary elements that are reflected in the set of results that allows us attending simultaneously these distributions. But in terms of policy, we maintain a healthy distribution policy of 70% of the profit.
Thank you, Jorge Juan Camilo Daugaro from Bradesco Colombia. How are you addressing the resources that have been received by ADN and JTR in Odinsa?
Once again, the received resources will be used not just in ADN and BTA, as we explained, it's $319 million. This is close to 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos, but the points of refinancing or financial restructuring of two of the concessions where we have Pacífico 2 and Túnel de Oriente, these two concessions, we restructured their financing, and this allowed a very important cash out. In general terms, Odinsa, between the disinvestment of ADN and BTA and the refinancing of Pacífico 2 and Túnel de Oriente, will receive revenues to a figure close to 2 trillion Colombian pesos. This 2 trillion Colombian pesos will be used in three different fronts. First, a reduction of leveraging close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos, attending an extraordinary dividend to Grupo Argos of 380 billion Colombian pesos, and asset investment and equity investments, primary and secondary investments, with a value difference. So the largest amount, 55% of the resources, will be going into restructuring and debt reduction. 380 will go as dividends for shareholders, and the rest will be used for strengthening the equity structure, being concessioned the assets and for a developing project such as El Meta Road Grid. Juan Camilo is also asking about Odinsa. We have the first wave of 5G. Is Odinsa thinking on any private initiative? Do you want to participate in any public initiative, and in which ones? Well, the answer is yes, but I'd like to give the word to Mauricio that here's with us. If you could just expand a bit more on this. Thank you, Jorge. Good morning to you all. Juan Camilo, thank you for your question. Effectively, we are active in the analysis and starting the 5G projects that have been coming out. We've been working on this from before, since we had Mayavial Valle del Cauca, afterwards Norte 2 project, and finally we're starting some of the ones that are pending to come out. Mayavial del Meta, we presented it with a high enthusiasm with the study which we did. And obviously, in this random part, we were not benefited with it. In Norte 2, we studied deeply, and after making a rigorous analysis in terms of profitability, expectations, and risk, we decided not to participate because we didn't find something that would correspond to the company's strategy. And currently, we're studying closely Magdalena 1 and Magdalena 2 projects that are close to their offering stage. Let's remember that 5G, different from 4G, 5G has a very important composition between public initiatives and private initiatives. And many of our projects, such as Cartagena Airport, Campo de Vuelo, Conexión Centro, some of our projects are part of the 5G program. We are still investing, structuring, and analyzing deeply. So the answer is yes, we are active, and we will keep on following this line. Let's just wait for the end of the analysis for Magdalena 1 and Magdalena 2 to see if we would present or not. Well, thank you, Mauricio. Estefania Mosquera asks if we could give her an update with the Macquarie transaction. Yeah, we're going to be answering this between two of us. Mauricio can help me out here. Transaction with Macquarie, as we announced, is closed. And in all the authorizations required, and we're in the paperwork required for it to start, we require about 6 months in order to complete all the paperwork that we have to comply. This goes through government authorization, through ANI, goes through a bond holders authorization. Odinsa is paying assets, that's part of the block. That's going towards this road vertical. It also requires regulation approvals, for example, by the industry and trade superintendency. The society superintendency also requires an authorization. It also requires the restructuring of the private capital fund. So this is a lengthy process with a series of activities, but are advancing according to schedule, and that we hope to end at the end of April. So we've been holding periodic meetings with Macquarie, analyzing investments or co-investment decisions for this fund. The project is advancing according to schedule. I don't know, Mauricio, if you'd like to compliment something. Well, thank you, Jorge Mario. I think it's very complete what you've answered, but if you would allow me, I'll just like to tie a last question with this question and try to round this. With Macquarie, we've been holding periodic meetings, as Jorge says, in order to follow up of these assets that we are managing. It's been pretty fruitful, as was mentioned in the presentation, but also to think about the growth options. We have three sources: participation in the 5G program that we mentioned, the seek of this opportunities in the secondary market, and last, driving our or impulsing our private initiatives. So we do have the structuring capacity for your ease. The now that we have some resources that have been previously explained by Jorge Martin, we will be going to the secondary market looking for opportunities that are aligned with our strategic view and obviously being active in the public APP. This is part of what we have with Macquarie. We work this jointly, being the responsible of the management. According to the process, our estimation is to close towards the 30th of April. Effectively, by groups, we could say that everything that are authorizations within societies, for example, asking the requirements, the permits from the authority, discussing this with my minority shareholders. We've done this. This stage with ANI has also been covered. This stage with the superintendency of industry and trade came back yesterday with no comments. This is important. And also I'd like to mention with the bondholders, this would be ending at 30th of March. So we'll have from here to the 30th of April to comply with all of the necessary ruling we have for the creation of the private capital fund. So I want to reiterate the announcement. We are compliant with all this paperwork. And with the conversation we had with Macquarie, which has been gaining lots of energy and track with us. Thank you, Mauricio, Jorge Mario. I have two additional questions. Jorge, this come from Juan Camilo and Daniel Guardiola. Both want to ask about the asset listing of Cementos in the United States, but I could join this question and bring it to the table, but understanding that there is a regulation that we should follow, that's SEC and the comments, our comments, given that they're limited in the sense. That's right, Natalia, and thank you, Juan Camilo and Daniele, for the question. So as Natalia said, I want to be careful with this, and Danielle and all those present will understand the reasons why. But just to give an idea, in the upcoming line, within Cementos Argos, there's a team that's completely dedicated, more than 20 people, exclusively dedicated, hiring financial advisors, legal advisors, accounting advisors, taxation advisors, working on the structuring of this project that's running according to schedule. You do understand that this requires a very careful analysis in terms of compliance and adjustment to the SOX regulation of the United States. It also requires the detailed analysis for the different options that present, being a spin-off of the American assets or a listing for that unit, depending on Cementos Argos. And also a careful analysis in terms of the amounts of primary and secondary emissions. That is the reasons that we previously mentioned. I limit my answer to Daniel and Juan for them to understand that I should not or cannot speak about specific details in terms of this operation. What I'd like to say is that we have the economic resources, technical resources, capacity, resources, and leadership resources centered in advancing with this project. That, as we mentioned before, could be fastly executed. In the measure that we have, decisions that have been clearly made and taken, we'll announce them publicly for them to be known by you all. But I would not like to go into responses that are still being analyzed and discussed, not legally, but also taxation-wise and market convenience. Okay, we have no more questions. We want to thank you for your participation. Well, thank you all. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. And here's a team open for any questions, thoughts, or queries that you might have. Thank you all. Thank you for your time. And have a nice day.